This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
I need you to do something that's probably a big deal for you. You're going to see me this week, and I need you not to walk past me, and I need you to work through your fear because I'm working through mine, and I just need you to invite me in. And if I act like I'm not interested in going to church with you, still, I need you to ask me to come. I need you to help me see God. I don't even know what that means. I need you more than you know. Because look, at the end of the day, God said he loved me enough to die for me. I mean, that is the claim, right? And if he died and he didn't stay dead, your church will be full this weekend. Your church could be full this weekend with people just like me. Different face, different skin color, different age, sex, or social status. But make no mistake, I could be sitting right next to you. I just need you to invite me in, that's all. Nothing more, nothing less. And nothing complicated. And nothing driven by guilt. Just invite me in. I need you to. I really do.
There are a lot of people that come into a church service and they are hurting. And I want you to know today that if you are hurting and you are looking for answers to life's problems, you have come to the right place. This is the house of prayer and this is the house of the Lord. If you believe that, say amen. I want you to stand with me and take your copy of God's word as we turn to Acts chapter number 2. And as you're doing that, just a few quick announcements here. I have a dear friend of mine. His name is Eddie Parton. And Eddie has been a friend of mine for 18 years now. As a matter of fact, him and Janice were some of the first people that we ever met when we first came here and befriended our family and our dear friends of ours. Eddie is going through cancer treatment, and he's working through that. I was able to spend some time with him this week at his house, and Melissa and I carried some food over there and fed them the other day and spent some time with them. But they're having a fishing tournament. And we're going to post this out throughout the church, and we're going to put this on our social media page. But they're having a fishing tournament on Saturday, September the 1st, from 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. So you fishermen here, if you could come by and sign up for that. This is hosted by the Lookout Pest Control, where Eddie has worked for many, many years. There's prizes and stuff, but this is to go to help their family. So there'll be copies of this out at the Welcome Center. We'll put this on our Facebook page. You got a little time, I guess, to be able to sign up. But if you're interested in this, you can always call the office. We would be glad to tell you more about that. And if you could help that family out, that would be awesome. Also, we're going to have just a quick meeting tonight before our service with our choir at 4:15. So choir, there'll be no choir practice. But at 4:15, we'll have a quick little meeting. And also tonight, we have Jared Dixon, and their family's going to be with us. Now, if you've never heard Jared and his sister sing, it's some of the most spirit-filled singing that you will ever hear. His sisters are excited about being here because it's the first time. And every time they look on our Facebook page, they see us here rejoicing. They see pictures of our revivals and all that. So they are so excited about meeting you. So I want you to come back tonight and introduce yourself to them. Let them know that you're praying for them. You've heard Jared before, and Jared does a great job. But when he stands on this stage with his two sisters, I want you to know it's some of the best singing that you're ever going to hear. So make sure that you come by tonight at 5 o'clock, and then Trey is going to be preaching for us right afterwards, Trey Holland. And so I'm excited about the opportunity for him and for Jared to be here. So if you're going to be here tonight, say amen. What time do we start? 5 o'clock, all right? So you be in your place tonight. I guarantee you, you will not leave discouraged, defeated. You will be blessed to hear the music that is here tonight. And one other quick thing. We're going to make an adjustment for our Wednesday night services as Awana starts. I believe Awana starts next week, right? Is that correct? Week after next, right? The 15th. And so what we're going to try to do, we're going to try to start our Wednesday night service at 6:30 to help accommodate the Awana program. A lot of you parents, I know it's tough on you because you try to your kids has to start at 6:30, and then you've got to come into the auditorium and wait 30 minutes before the service starts. So we're going to try and see how this works out for everybody. We'll start at 6:30 right on time with everyone. That way you can drop your student off. You can come right in here at 6:30, starting on Awana night, which is, again, Debbie? The 15th. They have a meeting tonight, but it should be in the bulletin. But August the 15th, we start Awana, and so we'll start that night at 6:30. And so parents, you can drop your kids off. They can start on time, come in here, and then we'll have our Bible study there. And hopefully that will work out with us. If it seems like it's not working out, maybe we'll try something later. But I'm hearing from all of you, preacher, please start at 6:30. It's difficult on us. And so 6:30 on Wednesdays, the first night of Awana. We got that down. We'll put that on our social media page. If you're confused about it like I am, all right, just call me and we'll get it down right. And we want you to be here and we're glad that you're here this morning. All right, turn your Bibles to the book of Acts in chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And when you're there, say amen. All right, everybody's there. Great. Acts chapter number 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3 of chapter 2 of Acts, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues likened as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. They were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under the sun. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard, underline that, every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all of these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? And verses 10 down to verse number 11 gives those nations. And verse 12, the Bible says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? I want you to be seated, and this morning we're going to talk about restored identity. Many, many years ago on the day of Pentecost, the church was born, and God gave a visible identity in the world about what we ought to be for the cause of Christ. And this morning I want to talk about restored identity, who we are in Jesus Christ, and what we are to be doing as God has invited us and called us to be the church of Christ. I want to go to the Lord in prayer, and this morning we're going to talk about the visible church. Being visible in our community, visible in the world, telling people about God's amazing love. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we pray your blessings down upon the sermon. May Christ be magnified and lifted up, and we will thank you for it. And all God's people can say with me, amen. Now, when you look back at history, and I love studying history, and I don't consider myself a historian, but I certainly love studying history. You will find that history records for us some of the most unforgettable moments. Dates like October 31st, 1597, when a German monk named Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And as a result of that, the Reformation period was born. There was a pulling away of the Catholic Church, and the Protestant movement gave way on that date. And today, we stand here today, benefactors of that wonderful movement of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message of salvation dating back in 1597. On December 17th, 1903, the Wright brothers make four brief flights in Kitty Hawk, And all of a sudden, the ability to fly becomes a reality to man. You can find December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese attacks Pearl Harbors, and all of a sudden World War II begins, and the world moves into a massive war with all sorts of destruction. July 16th, 1945, located in New Mexico, there was a tremendous blast that raced across the desert, and all of a sudden we find that nuclear weapons becomes a reality. We all remember September 11, 2001, where the terrorist attacks carried out a suicide attack on the World Trade Center in New York and the Pentagon in Washington and left thousands upon thousands of people dead within our streets. There's all sorts of dates that we can look to. There's all sorts of dates that are embedded into our long-term memory, things that have impacted us. But I want you to know there is a date and a time that should impact us like none other. It is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad today to know that the Bible teaches us that up from the grave he arose. I want you to know he's alive and he is well and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father making intercession for you and I. And I know that he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you do too, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house of God. Amen. Outside of that tremendous date, there's another date that we need to etch within our mind. It would be 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, one of the most monumental days in history took place. It was the day of Pentecost. It was the day that Jesus has been teaching and preaching about during his earthly ministry. He is talking about a comforter that is going to come. And that comforter is the Holy Ghost of God. And the Bible says that God's Spirit will lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth. He will never lead you into error. He will never lead you into false teaching. The Bible says he will lead us into all truth. This is one of the most tremendous moments in church history. Outside of Christ's resurrection, 50 days after he rose from the dead, the Spirit of God, according to Acts 2, comes down like a mighty rushing wind, and the church and the world is going to be impacted forever. The Holy Spirit of God comes to personally indwell the believer on the day of Pentecost. Today, you and I can be personally indwelt by the Spirit of God. When you read the Old Testament economy, you will find out that men would pray for God's power. They would pray for God's presence, and the Spirit of God would come upon them, but the Spirit of God would leave. In the New Testament, today in the church, as we are saved, God's Spirit doesn't come and go. God's Spirit indwells on the inside of us. Can you imagine this today? That the very author of the Word of God that you hold in your hand, the very author that inspired the Bible that you hold in your hand, he lives within your heart. He guides you and he leads you. This is the benefit of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes personally to indwell the believer. The indwelling of the Spirit formed what we know as the church. When you read your Bible, you will find that the word church was a word that was made up by the translators. The word is actually ecclesia, and the word means to be called out, a called out assembly. And for the first time in man's history, God calls out a group of people united together, filled with his power, filled with his presence, and God calls it the church. Spiritual power was made available to live the Christian life and to obey the commands of Christ to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. The church had become the visible and the viable source of God's manifested glory and presence on this day. And I want you to know, friend, that God wants us to be the visible and viable source of God's blessing and God's manifest word today. God wants the word to be incarnate in us. God wants the Word to be a part of who we are. God wants the Word to lead us and to guide us and to direct us. This is the spiritual power that is still available today. When you read the book of Acts, it is the Acts of the Apostles. It is the history of the Spirit of God moving in and out of these men's lives, doing incredible things. And what was done then can still be done today by his power and by his grace. The problem in our churches today is we are no longer led by the Spirit of God. We have settled for a cheap imitation. Somebody say amen. We've settled for cheap imitations. We want to be led by our own agenda. We want to be led by this or that. And we have relied on power from all sorts of different directions. We have relied on the power of programs in order to help the church to be powerful. We've relied on the power in our own plans. We've relied on the power in our own promotions. And we've relied on the power of personalities. I need you to know today that God's church does not revolve around programs. God's church does not revolve around plans or promotions or programs or personalities. God's church revolves around one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to be greatly praised among God's people. If you believe that, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. The programs, the plans, the promotion, and the personalities are just cheap imitations. If we build our church upon these things instead of the Word of God, we will never have the dynamic nor the power that God wants for us. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 makes it very clear, but ye shall receive power. You shall receive power. And over the years that I have been here preaching the Word of God to you, I have told you repeatedly that this word power is the Greek word dunamis. It's from the word that's derived the English word dynamite. And when God says that you will receive power, He is saying that you will receive explosive, dynamic power. You will receive something that comes from above. And that power will give you the ability to tell people about Jesus. That power will give you the ability to overcome the darkness of life, to push back the darkness through prayer and prevailing with God through prayer. That power will help you to be all that God wants you to be. Listen, God is not in the business of stagnation. God is in the business of transformation. And God wants to transform you from the inside out, to put a go in your heart to tell people about Jesus and His love. Someone say amen. And this is what happened in Acts chapter number 2. A brand new dynamic came, and that desire for God to transform believers, God's desire is it to be visible, viable manifestation of God's glory in His house. Let me ask you today, are you being a visible manifestation of God's glory? Are you allowing God's light and God's love to dominate your spirit, to control your mind, to help you to set your goals and your agendas and your strategies along life's way? You need the Spirit of God to lead you. You need the Spirit of God to guide you. You need the Spirit of God to help you. And I'm going to tell you this, it's not always going to be easy. Even when you're led of God, even when you're leaning on God, even when you're loyal to God, even when you're trying to do all that you need to do, you're going to find out sometimes life will throw you a curveball, and sometimes the devil will try to discourage you, and sometimes there'll be roadblocks along the way. You've got to give up and give out and give in to God. You've got to allow God to help you, to lead you and guide you and direct you by the power of His Holy Spirit. Because if you do it, you're going to mess up. But if you're led by God, God's going to help you all the way. If you believe that, say amen. This is what the Bible is teaching us today. God, on the day of Pentecost, wanted to embed within man's mind forever that God had given us something amazing that's going to help us. So this morning, I want you to consider, it's just several ways this morning, how God makes His church visible. How is it that God takes people who were living in sin, corrupted lives, depraved, doomed, and on their way to hell, how is it that God can save them and transform them? And now His desire is for us to be visible within the world. I want you to know, friend, if you're not doing your part for God, God wants you to be visible. God wants you to be victorious. You know, every time I read the Bible and I read about the Christian life, do you know the Christian life is always painted in a positive aspect and never a negative one? God always paints you in the positive. You are more than a conqueror. You are led by God. You are loved by God. And so the Bible teaches us that God has given us His Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit, in order for you and I to pray and to call upon Christ. And the Bible says it is His Holy Spirit that will intercede for us and that will help us as we plan, as we pray, and we progress forward. This morning, I want you to know how God wants you to be visible. What does the Spirit of God do and how does he make me visible? If you're taking notes, number one, he awakens our understanding. God awakens our understanding, not only to the things around us, but certainly to the Scripture. Just before the Lord ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples, "But you will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you." And you need to know the scope of this promise is far wider than you can imagine. Because when Jesus said to the disciples, "You will receive power," they looked at this only from an earthly kingdom perspective. You see, the disciples were, they were wanting Jesus to be a militia leader. They were looking for a Messiah, a military leader that would take Israel and move them back to the forefront, overcome the Roman Empire, and to establish Jerusalem as the city of the world. They knew the promise of Abraham and the promise of David and the covenant of Moses. They were looking for a Messiah to lead them. And so when Jesus said, "Hey, you will receive power," the power they were thinking about was earthly power. The power of the kingdom they were thinking about was an earthly kingdom. But I want you to know that God was not talking about just an earthly power or an earthly kingdom. God was talking about the reality of a heavenly kingdom. God was talking about spiritual power. God was not talking about fists and fights. God was talking about faith. He was talking about a faith that transforms the world. He wasn't talking about taking a sword and attacking the communities. He was talking about taking the sword of the Spirit and telling people that, hey, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And so it was a brand new radical message. You will receive power. You know, the entire transformation was the fulfillment of Jesus' words in John chapter 16 and verse number 13. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will," what? "Guide you." "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Now, over and over again, we find in the Word of God that the Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And when he comes, his job is to guide you, to lead you, to help you to be what God has called you to be. Pentecost changed the entire outlook of these men. These men were hiding in the shadows, but now they're running into the streets. These men were frozen in fear, but they're freed by the fire, the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. The Scripture came alive within their mind. The Lamb of God was recognized not just as the Lamb that was slain, but the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. God had a plan with Calvary. The Old Testament Scriptures were now understood as types and shadows of the ministry of Christ. There was a new understanding of Scripture revealed by the words over and over in Scripture. The apostles would say, "Thus was it fulfilled, which was written by the prophets." The Old Testament came alive. They seen in the pages of the Old Testament all the types and shadows of the ministry and the coming and the might of Christ. It wasn't just an earthly kingdom. It wasn't just an earthly power. It was a heavenly kingdom and a heavenly power that comes down from above and fills our hearts and helps us to be the visible church that God has called us to be. God had awakened their understanding to the Word of God. And I'm going to ask you today, friend, has your heart and your mind been awakened to the Word of God? Are you swayed by your emotions? Do you judge things based upon your agenda? Do you look at the world through a lens of just your own opinion? Or are you looking at the world through the eyes of Scripture? The Bible is to guide us. The Bible is to guard us. The Bible is to help us. As a matter of fact, when I read the Bible, I find in Revelation or Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, you say, "Well, Brother David, how did God awaken their understanding and how can God awaken my understanding? I want to know what God's plan is for my marriage. I want to know what God's plan is for my job employment. I want to know what God's plan is for ministry. I want to know what God desires for me to do. How do I know that?" Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. The Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world." Now, there's a lot of paraphrased translations out there, and I believe it's Phillips' translation, his paraphrase of Scripture. He takes that first phrase and he renders it, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold." How many of you when you were little played with Play-Doh, huh? Did you guys play with that? Did any of you eat it? I think I did a time or two, you know. I don't know why. Why do kids eat Play-Doh? I have no idea, but I do think I ate some blue and orange one time, but that's beside the point. We all played with Play-Doh, right? And that Play-Doh could be mashed out into, you know, different sizes and all this and that, and what'd you do to preserve the Play-Doh? You had to squeeze it back into its mold. You had to put it back into its canister. Well, that's what this phrase is saying here. Don't let the world squeeze you back into its mold. You see, God, like Play-Doh, if I'm going to use this illustration, let me run with it, all right? And you say amen along the way, whether I botch it or tear it up or not, all right? But let's just think about Play-Doh. You can take Play-Doh out, and you put it in your hands, and you begin to mold it, and you begin to shape it, and you make it into little characters, and it's all into your hands. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes by and takes it and messes it all up and squeezes it back to where it started. This describes a Christian life. God has taken you out, and like Play-Doh, God is molding you. God is making you. God is reshaping you. He's reshaping your thinking. He's reshaping your heart. He's reshaping your mind. He's reshaping you from the inside out so that you can be the visible, viable church that God wants you to be. But many times we put ourselves back into the mold. We destroy what God is trying to build. We try to refashion what God has done, and we place it back into the original mold. God does not want you to be living in the mold of this world. God wants to mold you and shape you and to help you to be the visible church that he wants you to be. How do we do that? The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Do not let the world squeeze you back into its mold. Well, how do I stop that? Be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You are to have your mind renewed. Your mind should be on the things of God, not the things of man. Your mind should be on the pages of the Word of God. Your mind should be saturated with the truth of the Word of God. Why? The Bible says, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want God's will for your life? You're going to have to renew your mind. And the renewing of your mind is not based upon the pages of the world. Listen now, the renewing of your mind is based upon the pages of Scripture. If you're mopping up what I'm spilling, say amen right there. It applies not only to the pulpit, but it also applies to the pew. We are to live our lives according to the Word of God. All of this is possible because of the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, he awakens our understanding. He helps us to look at life from a different perspective when we're led by him. When we are looking at the world through the lens of Scripture, we're looking at the world differently. We're maintaining our integrity. We are maintaining the truth of Scripture. We are maintaining our character. We are maintaining all of these things when we are guided by and governed by the pages of the Word of God. If you believe it, say amen. All right, not only did the Holy Spirit awaken their understanding, and he awakens our understanding, but the Holy Spirit that lives in your heart, listen to this, he advances our undertaking. God has given us a job to do. God has called us into the world to be a witness, to preach his word, to teach, to be visible. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to advance the undertaking that God has laid upon us. Now it's interesting, it's obvious that if these fishermen were to exceed in their tremendous task, they were going to need more than just intellectual understanding. Intellectual understanding is going to get you so far, right? You know, somebody may say, well, I've got a degree in this and I've got a degree in that. Well, you know how you sound out the word PhD, right? You say it, that's how you say PhD. That's how you sound, that's how it's pronounced. So, you know, if you got a PhD, you got a, that's what you have, you know? And so, I mean, I'm all about education, and I'm fine with education. I strive to do that myself, but we need more than education. We need more than intellectual assent. You can't smart your way to heaven. Somebody say amen. You can go to all the schools in the world. You can go have more degrees than a thermometer, and you're never going to make it to heaven based upon intellectual assent. You need something more than that, and so did these men. They were just a rough group of fishermen. They didn't have a lot of intellectualism. They didn't go to the schools with the rabbis. They had no underlearning or no type of learning. They needed more than just intellectual understanding. They needed God to advance their mission. And today I want you to know you need God to advance your mission. Whatever it may be, whatever God's called you to do, you need Him. Not your own understanding, not your own intellectualism, not your own intellectual assent. You can't smart your way to heaven. You're not going to get there because of education. Listen, you're going to get to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Not by your riches, not by what you have done, not by popular or prestige or popularity, but by Christ and Christ alone. These guys needed something more than just intellectualism. They needed Christ. They needed God. And today you need God and I need God. We need Him to help us. The coming of the Holy Spirit made it possible for the power of God to be known through human weakness. And I want you to know, I don't have all the answers to life. And have I made every choice by dotting every I and crossing every T? No, I haven't. There are things that I have done. There's things that you have done. When we look back, we think, well, maybe things could have been done different. Maybe I could have handled something differently. Maybe there was a different approach. Maybe there was different this, there was different that. But here's what I have learned. When I'm on the spot, and I'm put on the spot, and I'm dealt a card, if I make sure that my heart is humble before the Lord, listen to me now, God's Spirit will give you the perfect light at the perfect time in His own timing. God will help you. God will, you say, Brother David, you don't understand. My marriage has fallen apart. I don't know how to handle her no more. I don't know how to handle him no more. I don't know what to do. We've been to every counselor. We've talked to all sorts of people. We've come to see you. I want you to know if you are guided by the Spirit of God, listen to me, God will give you the perfect light at the perfect time to make the right decision. If you believe that, say amen. You're faced with some type of difficult challenge. You're wondering what to do. I want you to know if you are led by the Spirit of God, He will give you the perfect insight at the perfect time. You've got to allow God to lead you. Somebody say amen. He helps us with our undertaking. Well, if I were to go down through the text, verse number 2, you'll find that the Spirit will always demonstrate His authority. Look at verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. The Spirit of God is going to demonstrate His authority in our life. Like a mighty rushing wind, the Spirit of God came down. In His authoritative power, God will demonstrate His power in your life, in my life, just like the wind. I can't control the wind. I can't tell the wind when to blow. I cannot tell the wind when to stop. There are times I don't even know which direction that the wind is coming from. The Holy Spirit of God is much like wind. I can't control the Holy Spirit. I don't know which way the Holy Spirit's going to move. I don't know which direction the Holy Spirit's going to go. All I can do is yield to the wind. Like a sailor who puts his sails up, he's looking for the wind. All that the sails can do is yield to the direction of the wind. And ladies and gentlemen, today, the Holy Spirit of God is like wind, and all you can do is yield to the wind. If the Spirit says go, you go. If the Spirit says stop, you stop. If the Spirit says this, this is what you do. All that you can do is yield to the direction of the wind of the Spirit of God. The Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse number 8, the wind blows where it listen, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell whence it comes and whether it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. All that we can do in our Christian life to be the visible church is to yield to the Holy Spirit's power. You need to know that like the wind, the Holy Spirit, He is sovereign. He will move when, where, and how He chooses. The Holy Spirit, like the wind, is a spiritual force of the divine nature. He's the wind in the sails of ministry. He's the wisdom that guides us and provides for us. He's the power that moves us and motivates us. He's the shelter from the storms of life. He's the melody that provides our song and much, much more. You have to yield to the wind. Second of all, we find the Spirit brings clarity in verses 3 to verse number 5. Now, I'll not get into the tongues thing here, but if you've been around us for not too long, you understand that we do not believe in speaking in tongues here at Parkway Baptist, right? We don't believe in speaking in tongues here at Parkway Baptist, right? And I personally and sincerely and biblically do not believe that the passage that you have before you remotely suggests some type of spirit language or heavenly language or prayer language. The miracle that you find here is not in the speaking, but the miracle is in the hearing. And here's what's unique about this. And let me just make this observation. What happens today in the church, the miracle in the church is not so much in the speaking. The miracle in the church is the ability for you to hear. You need to make sure that your ears are open to the Spirit of God. You need to make sure that your ears are open, that when God speaks and when the Word is preached, that your ears are open. Many times we have spiritual earwax. We don't hear what God wants to tell us. We can't find direction for our life because our ears are clogged with the things of the world. Somebody's gnawing on this ear. Somebody's gnawing on that ear. Somebody's putting doubt in our mind. Somebody's putting doubt in our heart. And we hear the things of the world and our ears become spiritually clogged and we cannot hear the things of God. On that day, the Spirit of God began to move, and the miracle was not in the speaking, the miracle was in the hearing. And I want you to know today, we need a miracle in the house of God once again. We need a miracle of people who can hear the Spirit of God and obey the Spirit of God. And whatever God tells us to do, that's where we're going to go. Where you lead me, God, I'm going to follow. Somebody say amen. It's interesting that when you find and you look into the text where the Bible says that these men heard in these tongues and they spoke in this language, it's unique that the phrase there, other tongues, does not refer to an unknown tongue. The phrase is better rendered, tongues other than their own. And it's so incredible that there are 17 different nations that are listed here. The Spirit of God is going to deliver clarity. And He gives the ability for those nations to hear the message of Christ in their own native tongue. I want you to know, when the Spirit of God comes into the church, He removes the problems and He infuses peace. He removes the chaos and He gives us calm. He removes disorder and brings His divine order in. This is how God's church is the visible and viable manifestation of God's power and God's glory. Not only that, but the Spirit administers purity, if you're taking notes, verses 14 to verse 36. And let me give you the last one, I'm going to let you go. You've been a great audience today. Not only do we find that the Holy Spirit of God, He provides these things, but He also gives us power to preach. He gives us power to preach. Notice what the text says. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. God says, you will be my witnesses. Pentecost changed a company of believers into a ministry capable of making hell itself tremble. Are you listening to me today? You know what, it's unique. We've allowed Hollywood to corrupt our minds. We look at demons and, you know, Satan and demonic things that happen, and we think that they're more powerful than God's church. Listen to me. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. And when we move together for the glory of Christ, and when we move together and we do what God wants us to do, listen. The church is a force that cannot be reckoned with. What are you doing to do your part this morning? What are you doing to be the visible church? What part are you playing? Are you being a team player? Are you coming alongside like the Holy Spirit of God comes alongside us and helps us along the way? Or are you just kind of sitting on the bench while you're watching everybody else get in the game? I want to encourage you today, get off the bench and get in the game for God. And ask God to lead you and guide you and direct you by the power of His Holy Spirit to be the visible church God wants you to be. If you believe it, say amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.